Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. So it's titled About Last Night, but we're only going to talk about that for a few minutes. It's not going to take up the whole show, but let me explain what happened. So that last episode, episode 13, the recap episode, was actually recorded before the Christmas holiday break shutdown thing, whatever. And it just never got posted, and I almost didn't post it. And eventually I'm like, you know what, I need to make another podcast at some point, so we need to figure out what to do with this thing, either trash it or just post it and be like, yeah, so it only took, what, 2 months to get that thing up there? No real good excuses for that. It happened, like, I think the main event of that was obviously talking about the year of 2016 and kind of finishing it off with our trip up to Mesa to the Grid for their first ever tournament, and Tracy did a great job running that. And I'm just looking at my notes. I'm like, oh my God, Tracy's not in my notes enough. So yeah, we'll have to, where am I going to piece that in? How about right after here? Okay, so hold on. Let's talk about Tracy some more. Okay. Boom. Marked. Okay. So, it's just weird. Sorry. So anyways, we are what, like 7 days into February. So man, ever since the end of last year, there's been a lot that's gone on, but I want to start this off with, some 2017 pinball goals. I heard this on another podcast. I thought it was a great idea, and you know, maybe this is something that you can look at for yourself, you know, whether it's becoming a better player or, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be tailored around anything but what you want to do out of this hobby. Maybe it's restore a game, maybe it's whatever. I mean, there's tons of stuff to do within this hobby that doesn't even involve owning or playing games. That's what's cool about it. There's tons of different aspects of our little niche hobby that we enjoy. All right, so I had three. I wrote two down, and like mentally I was walking around the house and I'm like, you know, I came up with the first two a couple days ago, and then I had the third one. I was like, yeah, that's good. And then I forgot what it was, and I honestly sat here in this chair for 5 minutes staring at the screen going, what was that third one? So eventually I was just like, you know what? Two goals are fine. And then I'm like, well, I have kind of a smaller third one that it's not the real one, but you know, whatever. It can take the place. Okay, so here's my 2017 goals. Number one, practice more. And I own several machines and not many of them at my house because we have locations and that's where my games are. The ones at my house typically are under repair or full up restorations and not exactly functional. And so the only time I really quote unquote practice is when I'm in a local tournament, and that's not really wise. I mean, it works, it's fine. And in 2016, I think I did all right in a lot of the local smaller stuff, but man, the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, I've been really bad. Aside from when we went to the Grid. But I think that was just, I can't really explain it. So anyways, but like at our bi-weeklies, I'm finishing like last or like middle of the pack. And, you know, I used to win those like every three events, I would probably come away with a single win. But, and not to say I should be winning all of them, but I certainly think I should be practicing a little bit more. So yeah, that's my goal number one. And it really shouldn't be that hard to achieve that. You know, if you're in a corporate work environment and they're like, oh, you have to do your goals for this year, they're like, oh, make it quantifiable and achievable and la la la. And it's just like, these are, you know, whatever. Practice more. That's that's what it is. I'm not going to say practice 3 times a week for 60 minutes each session. That's, sounds not fun. That sounds very work-like. So anyways, number two, I want to attend more Tucson events. And the reason why is because there are more Tucson events than in the past. There's more Phoenix events than obviously anywhere else in the state, because it's pretty much Phoenix and Tucson are the only places that do events. But so D&D has added a three strike event, and they've always had their monthlies, and I was really bad at attending their monthlies for a long time. I'm back in the saddle on those, and I missed the first three strike that they had because we had furniture arriving. That's what it was. I was like, why did I miss that? Kind of cashing in some of the, or earning some of the brownie points on that one. So maybe it'll help me out a little later. But either way, attend more Tucson events. I go to all the ones that I run for obvious reasons. I don't get to enough of the ones that I don't run, in my opinion. So that's something I would like to work on. Number three, and we're actually working on this not super actively, but it's kind of just happening, is grow locations. So we have TISC, the Tucson Indoor Sports Center. I said TISC, and my wife like looked at me, kind of cocked her head to the side and was like, what is that? And, you know, it's like, I don't know. I spell it out every single time in an email, and then like later on I abbreviate it. And I hope people pick up on that. But I think that was the first time she'd ever heard it. And she's used to hearing it being called Blade World, because that's what it used to be called. And so when I was like, yeah, I've got, you know, game to go fix at TISC, and she's like, what? I mean, she knew what I meant, but she was like, why are you talking like that? Why are you saying that phrase? Anyways, so we have TISC. We've got 8 games there. We've got room for 9, but we just need 9 because we have 4 more at Lazy Days, which is a KOA campground. It's an RV place, I don't want to say midtown, but like kind of middle of Tucson if you're on the freeway. It's right off a country club. We've got 4 games there, and they are in season right now. And I got to tell you, when they first called us, they were like, hey, yeah, we've got some arcade games here, and we've got some, like, a foosball table and a pool table, and we want some pins, and, you know, would you like to come check it out and see if you'd be interested? So we went, we looked, and the place was a ghost town. Like, it's an RV campground. It's not, like, dirt lot, you know, pitch a tent campground. It's, like, everything's paved. And you would expect fifth wheels or full-on RVs all over the place, right? So we go there, and there's like 3 vehicles there total. And this place can hold like, I don't even know, 60, 80, something like that. And I'm talking to Robert as we're leaving. I'm like, dude, maybe this will just be good storage, you know, like not storage. And holy smokes. In case you didn't know, which I'm sure you do, it gets warm in Arizona, and it gets really warm sometimes, or most of the time, and people don't want to be here from out of state when it's really warm, and people really like it when their home is, like, under 3 feet of snow, and Tucson, it's like, oh yeah, the high today is, like, 55, you know, and the low is maybe 30s, whatever. You know, that's fine to them. And holy cow, I gotta tell you, Lazy Days has just blown up all the spots are full. Like last time I went there, pretty much every single spot was full. It's just crazy. It's a complete 180. I am not ashamed to say I am super shocked by it. But we're working on one more location, and it sounds like they're gonna want 4 machines, and it should have a good amount of traffic through, like casual traffic through, and that should be good. So we're hopeful about that. So, okay, 9 minutes to do 3 goals. Holy cow. So I put in Tracy on here, and so she runs a lot of stuff up in Phoenix, and I'm sure you know her. She's awesome. She does a great job on her events, and she started a Bells and Chimes League. And what that is, it is a all-ladies event, and it's a league, you know, so it's kind of a recurring thing, and it serves many different purposes, and some of them are a little, you know, not anti-macho, but it's like to get away from just a bunch of dudes, you know. And but it's also, you know, a good way to have a social environment, and it's I don't know, I mean, I can't speak for anything because that's not the world I live in, obviously, but it's less intimidating, it's more inviting, and it brings out ladies that would like to play, and those are all good things, you know? more pinball players are more pinball players, and pinball players are awesome. So, and Tracy's doing a great job with that. She's got a lot of news coverage with that. I mean, it's really impressive. It's super cool. You know, big shout out to Tracy for that. And the Phoenix metro area owes a whole lot to the work that she's doing to run all of these events, because I can tell you it is not simple and it's not the most stress-free thing to go through. So big shout out to Tracy. You're doing awesome. And everybody should say thank you. All right, moving on. Let's see. So in January, I already missed one of my 2017 or 2016 going into 2017 goals, and that was to attend Indisc. But so I wasn't there, but do you know who was in Indisc? That's right, Nifty LEDs. Wait. Oh, wrong podcast. I'm sorry. Yeah, so if you listen to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff, and they're coming up on 100 episodes, that's kind of a joke, and I don't know, that probably wasn't funny, but either way, I tried. But you know who else was there? And I'm not going to say Nifty LEDs. Probably the 2016 Tucson Player of the Year, unofficially, Ben Clement. So Ben went out there, and Indisc is It Never Drains in Southern California, takes place in Banning. And I was there last year, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of good competition. It's a pretty large field, and I did not check out how big it was this year. It was a lot. And it was really cool because Ben made the finals in the main, and they're actually, so they have, I think it was four groups of four to begin the first finals round type of thing. And they've got cameras on every one of the main games. And because they have a classic side as well. And they don't have cameras on all that, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But Ben actually was paired up. In his group, he had Zach Sharp, who is, number four in the world right now? Something like that. And they played Ghostbusters for their first game. And I got to watch Ben play Ghostbusters on Twitch. And Twitch is a streaming site. And, was it IE Pinball is Carl D'Angelo's page Twitch page. And Carl does a lot of work in hosting and lots of different stuff. So too much tournament talk, sorry. But so Zach and Ben were in the first group. Ben did not make it through the first group. He actually finished 24th in the main. He finished 29th in the classics. And the way Indisc runs, it's kind of known casually as pump and dump. It's more historically called Herb style because that's the guy that came up with the format. And it's basically you pay money and it's like a high score competition. And if you do our Super League in Tucson, that's exactly how it works as well. You can play over and over and over and over again until you get a score that you're happy on a game. And then you can move on to another game. So I ran a little data on here because Ben, I was talking to Ben, you know, in between sessions and everything. I was texting him and he's like, dude, I'm just like blowing through tickets. And I'm like, it's fine. Lots of people go through lots of tickets. Trust me. So I ran some numbers and because Zach was in his group, I looked at Zach's number. Zach put in 62 tickets total. This is both main and classics. Keith Elwin, who is the number one ranked player in the world, he put in 40 tickets, and Ben put in 117 tickets, and that's a big jump compared to those two guys. However, Bob Matthews, who finished number one in Classics qualifying, he put in 121 tickets, and Bob Matthews is quite a traveler as far as events. He makes a lot of events. He's a good player. He's very experienced. He prefers classics, I think, most of the time, just because he tends to do better on those compared to the field. But he's good at everything. And, you know, so you can just see the wide range of ticket numbers that people put in. And you got to blow up a game, you know, X number of games one time, and if you do it early on, you don't have to put in very many tickets. But if it takes you a little while to find that score you want, it's gonna cost you a few tickets. So, but anyways, Ben did awesome. That was really fun to watch. You know, appreciate Carl and the Never Drains group that does all this stuff. And Papa, it was a Papa circuit event. It was Papa Major, And so it was worth, I think majors are worth like either 50% or 100% more than what your regular events are. Like they have a multiplier in there. So Carl D'Angelo actually ended up winning, and Carl got 65.32 points out of that. That's a lot of points. And so for coming in 24th in main, Ben got 6.58 points, and that's, you know, that's 10% of first place, but there was around 100 people there. And the way points work, like you can look at it and you can put them on a spreadsheet and you can just watch the chart just like fall off a cliff with how fast those points just disappear. You know, so if you're not in the top, you know, top 10, 15%, you're not really going to get a whole lot of points out of that, even though your standing looks pretty respectable. So, you know, that was awesome. And I'm kind of bummed I missed it, but I just couldn't make it happen. So around that time, the state championship series final, not final standings, because those have been set, but the attendance deadline has come and gone. And so here's the Arizona SCS finals matchups for the first round for the 2016 finals. And those are actually this Sunday. It's always the first Sunday after the Super Bowl, per Josh Sharp, who runs the IFPA. So we have Mark Pearson is first, and he will play Mike Leahy as 16. Will McKinney is 2, playing Robert Noble, 15. Ben Clement is 3, playing Jim Smith in 14. Matt Christensen is 4, playing yours truly at 13. Greg Davis is 5, playing John Schappel at 12. Derek Jordan is 6, playing Jeff Barthold at 11. Henry Hanshaw is 7, playing Tracy Lindberg at 10. And Mark Lindberg at 8 is playing Dave Bell at 9. And I'm looking at this, and I only see one Tucson versus Tucson matchup. And last year, I think there were there two in the first round? There might have been 6 players from Tucson that made the finals. Well, I don't know. Because I do remember that Derek played Greg Davis, and he took him 3-0, and it's a 7, you know, best 4 out of 7 matchup, and Greg ended up sweeping him in the end. So yeah, sorry Derek, but you pull the Toronto Maple Leafs for sure on that one. And yeah, anyways, so the bubble players that can play, if any of those players don't attend, number 17 is Jeff Goad, number 18 is Robert Whipp. And I don't think we will get any further down the list than that. But that should be really exciting. And that's going to be at D&D. And it's always kind of a nervous time, just because it's like, you know, you've been playing all year to qualify for this event. And yet, like, this is a place that we play all the time. You know, these are games that we know. And it's just, I don't know. It's a different feeling because it's for some big stuff. So the winner of this gets a little bit of pot money, and they get an automatic bid to the national championships. And I don't remember where they are this year. I think they were in Vegas last year. And I think Will went last year. And I think he had a bye in the first round because of his standing, but that's all going off of memory. So I'm not 100% sure on that thing, but, you know, I'm actually expecting... I'm expecting Tucson to do a little bit better than last year. Wasn't a terrible performance, but wasn't the best. But Tucson has been gaining on Phoenix slowly but surely. Some years it doesn't feel like it. And, you know, while the upper players are still the upper players, anybody can give anybody a good run. And there's some exciting matchups that I'm actually really curious to watch and see how they go down. So, yeah, if you don't mind, we're going to make like Bob Seger and turn the page real quick on my notes. So, all right, let's do a project update. So I was given a machine. It is a wood rail. It is a 1959 Williams. And underneath the apron, it says Golden Bell. But I think the actual title of the game is Golden Bells. So, and I don't know that because the back glass... the paint is completely flaked off. It is falling apart. There's a piece of cardboard taped around the edges. And when I got it, Eric was like, dude, I don't even know what happened. Like, we literally picked it up and it just fell apart. So I have the glass, I have it completely cleaned off of all the old paint, and I'm going to recreate the art in a not super professional manner and then have it printed out on Mylar and then go from there. And what I really want to do on that game, there's a few burnt coils, so I'll have to troubleshoot that. But and the art is on the playfield. It's not bad. I mean, it's not beautiful in the fact in the sense that it's not like 100% there, but it's really nice. Like it's just really cool. And so I kind of just want to preserve it as is. So I'm gonna clean it out a little bit, try to get some of the grit out of there, and then I'm gonna shoot some clear over it and put it all back together and play the heck out of it, 'cause it's cool. It's got one of those, like you can see through the apron. It's got five balls loaded because when you start a game, it's kind of like those coin op pool tables where you push the coins in and then it just like dumps all the balls in the trough area. And that's what happens with this. And so like you have to manually plunge the ball up into the shooter lane and then you can plunge the ball. So there's really two plunger rods on there. And it's like I said, it's got wood rails. It's amazingly gorgeous. It's so good looking. It's got metal legs. It doesn't have wooden legs. Those were the wooden legs were done away with just a few years prior to this from what I've been able to find. So that one is it's kind of in limbo. We'll get to that, you know, when we can. The other project is High Speed, and that was a fairly not fairly damaged, but it had some water damage. The whole back of the head was completely rotted out. And so replace that with a piece of real plywood, not the particle board that was there, or the like super thin. It was like maybe a quarter inch plywood. Like it was just rubbish. You know what had been? It was had like finishing nails holding it to. It was just bad. So I ripped that out and put in a good piece and sanded everything and sprayed it all. It's all black now. It looks really nice. I'm putting it all back together. The interior of the cabinet is pretty much all put back together. I'm working on the head, but I'm looking, sitting at my desk, I am staring at the main board, which has all of the solenoids on here. Or not solenoids, I'm sorry. All the transistors. Because there's a pop bumper that literally blew up a transistor. It was in three pieces. Each one of the soldered legs was holding a piece of the black plastic that is the transistor, and there's like dirt soot mark from where this thing exploded on the board. It must have been glorious, man. To have that on video would be awesome. But yeah, so I got to figure out why that's happening. Which you know, it's not a ton of work, but it still just has to be done. Let's see, the light board is warped. If you follow the Facebook page, the Tucson Pinball Facebook page, you'll see that I posted two pictures. One showing the light board as it would just like sit and pretend to lay flat on a table, and it's definitely got some arc to it. It looks like the curve of a hockey stick. And so yeah, right now that is being sprayed with water every few hours as it dries out, and it's got weights sitting on both edges, and there's a not super thin sheet of plywood in between it, but enough that it could eventually it'll flex beyond what it should, and then when you take the weights off, it'll go back to hopefully being flat. So yeah, that we're trying to make that flat again. And the last thing on this high speed before I start troubleshooting all the other stuff and do the entire playfield, because that's going to get sanded down, new overlay, new decals, and then cleared back up. The speaker grill, there's so instead of it having like two speakers on like on modern machines in the head, it had a 6x9 in the center right underneath the back glass, and it was covered with a grill, and it was plastic that was had a one, whole bunch of like meshing holes in it. And then there was a nice fabric layer on top. Well, the plastic is glued onto the head, and that glue started to give way, and I got it when it was like two-thirds detached, and so it was just kind of flopping there, and it's developed a memory of that curve of when it was just kind of dangling. And so I've got that out under a sheet of glass, sitting in the sun with a little bit of weight on the glass, trying to get that to lay back flat. And it's a fun project. It's a lot of time, but it's a game that's very much worth it. High Speed is a great game. I'm really excited to have this thing, you know, in progress, but also to be done with it. I enjoy playing, but I also enjoy restoring the games. But, you know, you restore them so you can play, and so there's no need to delay as long as possible, you know, as you're going through the steps. But this one, I'm going to be really excited when it's done, because I played it, even in the condition I got it in, it played, and it was just fun to shoot. I mean, it's such a great layout. And so, yeah, looking forward to having High Speed all back and playing nicely and looking pretty as well. So lastly, we have a new machine coming our way. And I'm going to turn this into a fun little guessing game on the Facebook page. So make sure you like the Facebook page. Check it out. And so I have a game coming. And there's two clues that I'm going to give. They should be obvious when I post a picture, but it's going to be a guessing game because I'm not going to tell you what game is coming. But the two hints are that it is coming on a pallet, so it's being shipped from out of state because it's not one we have locally. So those are the two hints. It's enough of a machine to be worth shipping, and the second one is we don't have one locally that I'm aware of. If we do, then kind of a fail on my part, but whatever. So if there's one in a bar somewhere and it's all by itself sitting in a corner, I feel bad for not knowing about it and playing the crap out of it, because I am super pumped for this title. It's going to need a little bit of cleaning, well, a lot of bit of cleaning, because it's really dusty based on the pictures, even with the glass off. Like, there's just soot everywhere. There's a little bit of electrical work that needs to get done. If I tell you what the problem is, you can kind of narrow it down if you really have nothing else to do. But, so I'm not going to tell you what exactly the fix is that it needs, just that it does need a little bit of electrical work. I already have a ring kit for it, and so as I'm tearing things down, cleaning and waxing, I will be re-ringing everything. And I need to put in a Comet LED order, and I will be doing that as soon as I have the game and can get a bulb count. Because I order by the 25-count bag, and I just need to make sure that there's not, like, 26 purples, you know, or whatever. And we're making that up because purple is kind of a pinball joke. And that's kind of it, yeah. So I talked about the guessing game, and I hope that'll be a little bit of fun. And then once the game is revealed and is ready to go out on location, I hope that's where the real fun comes, because obviously I wouldn't have picked up the game if I didn't think people were going to enjoy it. So I'm super excited about that. It's supposed to be here on the 10th. It's on a truck. It's actually in Phoenix. It's been in Phoenix, and this is the 7th of February. It has been on a truck in Phoenix since the 2nd. Yeah, the 2nd. That's the last time tracking was updated. And it's like, ah, oh, guys, you're killing me. I would have driven up over the weekend if I would have known that I could have just gone and picked it up and thrown it in the back of my car. But, yeah, I'm waiting. So they're running out of days. So I bet they're going to come as close to the 10th as possible, but if that's the case, I wish they would have just said, we'll be here on the 10th and not given me a tracking number, because I watched it come from Georgia, and then it sat in Dallas for, it seemed like 3 days, and then all of a sudden, the tracking just updates one, I think I refresh like every few hours, don't judge me, but it updated from Dallas to Phoenix, and it's like, what, no, like El Paso, like teaser? But I don't know. I'm still a little miffed, because if they packed that truck properly, you know, with a little bit of planning, I have a feeling they drove past Tucson, and guess what? They could have stopped and lightened the load just a little bit on, like, oh, the 1st or the 2nd, and then we wouldn't be refreshing their webpage all the time. So that's about it. I'm super excited. I hope you're excited. And I hope if you're listening to this, I hope you get a chance to come on down. and give it some plays. And yeah, that's kind of it. So thanks for listening, and party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
And we're clear.